You're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us, and then dive into our community and some great questions from our community members, like people on our Discord, which you should be joining so you can hang out with us and talk. We had a fun discussion yesterday about how you can justify whether something is, you know, the greatest of all time, but that was fun. But yeah, other discussions in there as well. A lot of fun episode by episode discussions. Obviously, we have our little spoiler channels just for each show. So if you're watching the spring season, you can join and chat with that. But everything is at otakuspirit.com. You can go there for all the links. So definitely join us. But yeah, how was the last few weeks? Because we just had 2 weeks of reviews for the winter season. And since our last discussion,
seems like we've had longer, but yeah. It's been doing pretty good. Got back into Genshin.
Oh, there you go.
So, trying to catch up on a lot of that stuff. It's been okay.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked because I'd been away from Genshin because I was playing Elden Ring and my brain couldn't switch between the two for the controls. So I just said, I can't play Genshin for a while because you can't screw up in Elden Ring and I need to keep my mind set on those controls. And, it was so long that they literally had the welcome back thing for me. And I'm like, oof, it's been that long. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, that's really cool because now I actually have things to do because all the cool things, they like give you rewards for doing different things when you come back. So it's like almost makes you want to quit for a month every single time. But that's fine. It's fine. Technically, it's trying to get you caught up by giving you like rewards to get you sort of what you missed. But you can obviously get more primos and stuff if you actually play the game on a daily basis. So it's not like you gain something by not being on. It's just, I don't know, you can take a break and come back and jump right back in. So, but I have a lot of content to go through. I was going to try to stream it the other day and I'm like, crap, all this story stuff that I have to actually read. Not good for streaming, but that's fine. It's been fun. Obviously, twitch.tv/otakuspirited. ED at the end of there. Definitely join us there. I'd stream on Monday, Wednesday, and I think I'm going to change to Thursday rather than Friday because it seems like Friday is kind of a quiet day for at least our stream. So, and I know the last time I went on Thursday, a couple people chimed up and said, oh, cool, you're streaming on a day that I can actually watch. So,
yeah, I was trying to get my stream going again, but OBS
don't like
me.
You. OBS doesn't like one of your drivers. I didn't think about it at the time that you were trying to fix it. I'm like, well, technically OBS really technically ties into every single device you have. It wants your audio driver, it wants your video driver. It uses everything. So I don't know, hopefully you can fix that. I was thinking about jumping in it someday to see if I can tinker with it just to get you up and running again, because obviously people don't like me anymore for some reason. Everybody likes Chris. So everybody excited when we did the Hatsumiku. It's Chris. Yay, we can talk to Chris, not Andrew. It is what it is. I'll take the heat. Whatever. That's fine. I just talk too much, obviously, because I'm trying to keep the gaps out from our podcast and stuff. Anyways, that's all good and dandy. I think that's pretty much it. I did officially beat Elden Ring, by the way. I took a week break because I was really mad at it, and then I came back, and I just powered through the last of it, so I have officially beat Elden Ring. No, you can't ever. I don't think you can ever technically 100% the game because it's just too much crap in it. Like, I'm still fighting new areas, but it was a fun game. I really did enjoy it. It was a great ride. It was definitely a new experience for me. I could not have gotten through it without the stream because I would have quit a long time ago, but it's fun having people to actually talk to and at least sometimes joke about how terrible I am, but I openly accepted it. So it was great. But, yeah, I'm still going to like try to do like a lot of cleanup in that game and then possibly a little bit new game plus, but it's been fun.
I can't deny it does look fun, but yeah, I think that I would get mad frustrated very quick. And yeah,
it has high highs and it has really low lows. Like, so I was mentioning like one of the toughest fights, I won't mention the name because it's, I don't know if it's spoilers. The one that everybody deems as like the most difficult fight. I actually told the stream, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'll ever get frustrated by this fight because it's one of the few fights in that game that's hard where I know why I messed up. Like, when I die, I go, that was because I missed this cue. It's easy to read, and so I know when I screw. Now, there's like two attacks they do that's really cheap. But for the most part, everything it does, I kind of blame myself when I mess up. Well, there's other fights, but especially the bigger bosses. It's like the camera and everything is so stupid. I get frustrated because I feel like it's not my fault. It feels like it's just bad game design. And yeah, get the emails going. Start typing them. Get good. But it was fun, though, because I enjoyed also getting into the Souls community because I really did feel like it was going to be a lot of get goods. But a lot of people were actually very supportive. Like, people wanted people to enjoy Elden Ring so they can get into the Souls sphere. So it was a lot of fun in that regard. So, and yeah, it's just a really beautiful artwork in that game. So, but yeah, I'm kind of sort of getting back into Genshin and Final Fantasy 14. I was going to play it last night, but maintenance. I'm like, crap, I guess I'm playing Elden Ring again. So hopefully I can get back into Final Fantasy 14 as well, because I think the patch is coming out. So got to get all caught up with that stuff. I think it's on the 18th, actually, but we'll see. But yeah, the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us. Let's dive into it. We have a lot to go through. A lot of very interesting news has happened since our last podcast. I've covered quite a bit of it in my news videos that I make on a regular basis. So if you guys want a condensed version, you can check out that. This is more of the discussional version of it for me, Chris, to kind of discuss what's going on in the anime sphere so people can get caught up. Plus, a lot of people listen to our podcast. I don't watch my videos, so that's the unfortunate thing. So our first bit, let's jump right into the continued saga of Crunchyroll taking over the anime sphere. I think we haven't discussed this together.
I don't know if we've discussed it on podcast. I know that we have discussed it.
So yeah, Crunchyroll is officially removing ad support viewing from their platform. So obviously one of the cool things that has always been around the Crunchyroll platform is that if you don't sub, you could still check out the shows. You just always had to wait a week before you can actually watch it with ad supports. It was kind of a cool thing. It was kind of one of those things where when I was trying to get people to watch things like High Dive and stuff, they're like, but it doesn't have ad support. Well, Crunchyroll's joining High Dive. In their knowledge base, not their main page, not their news releases, not way back there in the back of Crunchyroll's knowledge base, you know, back where they have the Q&As and stuff, they decided to post this little thing, hoping that nobody would see it, I would assume.
And then that they can come out later and say, well, we said it way back when.
Exactly. Chris watched my video, I think.
No,
I was like in my video, I'm like, you know, they're going to do this, and then later on when everybody's going, where's the ad-supported viewing of these new shows, they'll go, oh, we announced it way back here, and I made, like, a little small cutout, like, really small in the corner of my video, like, it's way back in the corner. Anyways, sorry. But anyways, like I said, way back in the background, like, they were hoping nobody would see it or something, they announced that essentially, for spring, what they're going to do for the spring anime season, what they're going to do is they're going to go, okay, for the first three episodes, everything's normal for, what was it, eight shows? For eight shows, we're still going to let you do that. So, Spy X Family, Couple Cocos, Dawn of the Witch, Tomodachi Game, Skeleton Knight in Another World, Shikimori's Not Just a Cutie, The Greatest Demon Lord is Reborn as Typical Nobody, and Trapped in a Dating Sim, The World of Atome Games is Tough for Mobs. I'd probably say, like, two of those are like probably the most exciting shows of the season. Spy X Family, definitely. And I think a lot of people are excited for Shikimori, even though that is not happening. I just realized that that's not happening. We'll talk about that later. But essentially, for the first three episodes, you can still do that like normal. But after those first three episodes, no more. Crunchyroll is cutting out all simulcast access to ad-supported viewing. What that basically means is that they may continue to do, they might do more later on, but for now, once those three episodes are done, all you can access is old seasons with ad support. So nothing new after that point. So that's the crappy part. Like I said, don't know what's going to, and this is only for a limited time. It's only going to go until 5/31. So after those three episodes are done, it's pretty much, that's done for simulcast ad supported viewing. Again, you can access the old catalog, but nothing simulcast going forward for ad support. And again, I don't know if they're going to do this quote unquote seasonal sampler again next season as well with eight selected shows, but it's pretty much, again, and that goes back to the whole argument of like who still watches older shows. I think there's a lot of people that still probably go back and watch older shows, but going out of their way to go to Crunchyroll, which is not seemingly wanting to support ad supporting anymore, is a big problem there. So your thoughts on this whole situation?
Another notch in their belt of how to take off your customer base.
Right.
I don't, it's one of those things that, I mean, who didn't see this coming? I mean, I do get that because of the frustration that we've had over the last, I don't know, 2 years, it seems like, that we've seen this garbage happening over and over and over again. And it's like, at this point, I mean, you might as well just say, we really honestly don't want your support anymore. That's what they really need to do. They just need to come out and just say, we want to crap all over you. We don't want you anymore. Just go ahead and go your own way. It's so frustrating to know how much I hope y'all are in the same boat as me, but when it comes down to it, as much as I have from the get-go, when Crunchyroll officially announced, hey, we're cutting off all of our pirating, we've talked to these people, we've got it to where we can go legit, and I went, this is what I want. This is what I've wanted for a long time, a true, honest way to communicate to Japan that, hey, there is an audience over here in the West. We want to support you. This is what we want to do. We moved forward. We bulldozed through all the crap that everybody slung at us, and now we're sitting here looking at Crunchyroll, and Crunchyroll is saying, oh, yeah, by the way, I know you supported us for 15 some odd years, but we're going our own way. We don't want you anymore. That's to me what I see. This is who Crunchyroll has become, and I can't blame anybody for the decisions that they're making as far as how they're supporting the anime industry at this point.
I would argue,
it's not supporting it anymore.
I would argue it's not really Crunchyroll. It's probably Sony.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where. And honestly, in the defense of Chris, he's probably, when you say Crunchyroll, you essentially mean Sony at this point. It, from now on, when we say Crunchyroll screwed up, it's Sony or it's Roberts. But but it's one of those things where what I kind of assume a lot of it probably is that mindset that they probably is that Sony's seen a lot of those press releases where Crunchyroll's going, hey, we got 120 users and 5 million paying customers. And I know that a lot of people really kind of misconstrue these numbers and they go, holy crap, if they're ending ad supports, that means they want 120 million of those people to actually pay. It's like, no, it's not 120 million people. It's 120 million accounts. You have a lot of people that, what do? When they want to watch anime, they get a new email account, they sign up, they get a free, 2 weeks, they watch, and then they let their account die. And then the next time they want to watch anime, they make a new email account, they sign up. So 120 million accounts. It doesn't mean people. But you do kind of see a little bit of that there's probably a fraction of that, and they can easily check this. They know, unless people are using VPNs, they know that this many are from the same IP or whatever. They get that, that information does come to their servers. They log that information. Now, the question mark is do they see like a good portion of that, maybe 20 million or something like that, is the same IPs, and they can go, okay, so if we cut off ad support, because those are accessing, you know, ad viewing, because they have to log in order to see certain stuff because of, you know, age restrictions and stuff. Do they see that and go, that's potential users? And I think, yes, it's sort of logical from a standpoint of a business. They can see that and go, we have a potential of having 25 million paying customers, not just 5 million, if we can just cut off this. But the problem that comes from that is it's kind of one of those things where you kind of want to sneak in and go, hey, big business guy that makes millions of dollars, which is probably a lot smarter than I am, I can tell you from our perspective, you're wrong. It's like one of those things of like, you're brutally wrong, because the people that are waiting a whole week just to watch an episode, just to be in the conversation a week late, those are people that are going to go watch it somewhere else. Like you, they're like, and I almost wanted to put, I forgot to put this in my video when I talked about this, but it's like, you do realize that the people that wait a whole week and then watch ad supported, obviously, why are they doing that? Because they can't afford it. It's probably a younger kid, doesn't have income or anything like that, or it's just people that are really strapped, really tight, but they still want to watch anime and they don't mind watching ads. They're technically your most loyal customers, if you think about it. Because they could have easily gone somewhere else to watch it, you know, on the same date that everybody else is watching it, but they still stuck by. They're like, I'll wait a week and I'll watch the episode and then I can talk about it and then I'll enjoy it. They are your most loyal because they're willing to take on that week wait just to make sure they still watch it legit. And you've just thrown mud in their face. Yep. So it really sucks. And again, like I said before, it's kind of like the logical fallacy of things like Netflix we've talked before, this idea that if you force people to start paying for it, they're suddenly going to pay for it. No, they can't pay for it for a reason. They're going to go somewhere else, especially in the case of Netflix, because it's $20 a month. But equally is with Crunchyroll. They're going to go somewhere else. So I guess congratulations. You'll not get that ad support anymore, but good on you for, I don't know, maybe you might pull out a million more subs, but it's just, there's a couple things that really annoy me about this whole thing. One is, like I said, I feel like they're the most loyal. I was trying to find some people to talk to that are really in that boot camp to find out if it's, my question was really, in the wake of this, are you suddenly going to start subbing or are you going to go somewhere else? That was my question for a lot of people. And it was hard to really find anybody that really deals with this week long wait. It's really is kind of shocking to me that somebody would be willing to wait a whole week rather than going to somewhere else. But again, my assumption is people are just going to go somewhere else. Congratulations, I guess.
That's one of those things that I would love to see. Like I've mentioned before, I'd love to see the demographics. I really, really would love to. I would love to know, because obviously, I mean,
it's a big amount because they're willing to do this. If it was like four people, why would they bother making this big change?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying is it, when we were discussing the whole Netflix thing, it's like when it comes down to it, they obviously know that they are going to theoretically make more money doing the switch. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Is that amount of money that they're going to make more than the amount of basically backlash that they're going to get?
No, they're not going to get backlash because they made sure they hit the announcement.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's the other thing that annoys me is how sleazy this is. Like, why did they not put this on their front page? Bad press. Somebody's going to find it. We found it.
And this is the funny thing is one of the things that I'm very curious of is, what if we're seeing this the wrong way? What if it is actually they don't have anybody who's really watching ad supported, and there's no real reason for them to keep having the ad supported on there? And it's you know what I'm saying?
Well, just back to the whole idea of why would you bother changing your entire system for that if it's, I mean, because this is going to require a system change.
Right. And that's a true statement. I mean, obviously, my point is that if there is no real reason for them to have that there, then maybe there's
in their defense, you know what probably a lot of it is that most people aren't viewing the ads. And that's one of those really sad things of like...
You think ad blocker is stopping it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. And nobody doesn't have ad blocker. And I'm assuming it probably equally works for this. And so if they see that, well, okay, a bunch of people are watching it ad free, you know, ad supported. Now, granted, they still have the week block, but they're still not viewing the ads. They're getting it for free, but there's a week late. This could be the response of that. And that's kind of one of those sad things where I don't blame people for using ad blocker. Don't get me wrong, but it is one of those things of like, this is technically what it causes. You know, if you don't view the ads, they don't get money. They're going to stop doing it. Now, it begs the question again, is why they still have the old stuff still up there, unless they still see enough people don't use ad block that they still make money from it. But yes, technically, with the only reason I could see that, like, I guess my point is that technically they could probably make more money from ad support from somebody each month than they make from a subscription. There's a possibility if you watch enough stuff. Because, I mean, I don't know, throwing a guess here because they're not legally allowed to actually divulge a lot of this information. It's like, yeah, you can get probably maybe 10 to 50 cents per viewing of an ad from somebody, probably more like a dime at the most, from a person per ad. And then, yeah, if technically if they watch, I don't know, 50 or whatever shows, they could technically get a sub out of that. But most people are probably not going to watch that much.
Does your because I haven't actually gone on Crunchyroll with my ad blocker. Does it actually block the ads? Most sites that I go to that I've gone to that have the ad block, it senses if you have an ad block and it won't even allow you to access the.
Right, it's just you have to finagle it. It works. You just have to finagle it. But yeah, they do have ways of technically detecting it. I don't know if Crunchyroll has a smart enough team to figure that out. I don't know. I haven't actually looked at it. So, but yeah, most people don't really look at the ads either way. So I don't know. It sucks. And like I said, I think it's really shady how they quote unquote announced this. And I really do feel bad for those that are you know on strict budget, especially these days. That they will honestly not be able to. I really do hate the idea that it's more of the fact that I'm more upset that people have to go somewhere else. As much as we've supported Crunchyroll and stuff, I hate the idea of I can't defend it. And technically we haven't been able to defend Crunchyroll for the last 2 years. So it's just another tick on the checkmark list, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. But I do love one of the later statements. It says, "We want to encourage as many fans as possible to explore new shows and see the full benefits of Crunchyroll access. Crunchyroll makes more than 1,000 hours available for viewing to sample free of charge through our ad-supported tier and will continue to offer free content going forward." I just love that whole, like, really kind of out of touch. We want to encourage them by removing full access. We want to encourage you to pay by saying you no longer have anything. That's sure. Encourage. Congratulations. But yeah. First three episodes of those eight shows until 5/31. So what, like another week, two? So there you go. I'm glad we could inform you guys because it didn't seem like they wanted to inform you guys. So there you go. There you go. Have fun. In other news, like I mentioned earlier, since I no longer have people saying, well, HIDIVE doesn't have ad support, so I'm not going to bother where Crunchyroll does. Now that Crunchyroll is joining that whole thing, I can once again encourage people to go to HIDIVE because I'm kind of excited. I think HIDIVE is doing really well. They have officially pretty much locked in five of the shows of the coming season. No, six of the shows because I don't have Kagenado on here. Kagenado season 2, Onipon, The Demon Girl Next Door season 2, I quit heroing, Your Boy Kong Ming, and The Executioner and A Way of Life. I would argue, I haven't got a chance to see Onipon yet. For some reason, they're delayed on that, so I'm guessing the official broadcast is later than what they've done somewhere else in Japan. But that's typically what happens when there's a long delay for the first episode to release over here. But I would argue, Demon Girl Next Door Season 2, I'm super hyped about. Your Boy Kong Ming is really good so far. But Executioner and A Way of Life, I'm super shocked by that. I definitely highly recommend people checking that out. I'm really, I'm really locked in at this point. I really do hope that they didn't just kind of spill all the good content in the first two episodes, and then beyond this is going to be boring. But the first two episodes, really good. I'm really enjoying it. So, and I'm, yeah, like I said before, I'm still excited for Onipon whenever that decides to come out at this point. Anything in there that you're super hooked on so far?
Pretty much all of them. I'm holding out a lot of hope for I Quit Being a Hero. Mostly
I Quit Heroing. The wrong one on there. I'm sorry. Okay. I'd throw you off.
The first episode was interesting. I kind of holding out hope on that second episode to see if it really starts to hit really good. But as it stands right now, it's interesting. So overall, I'm enjoying everything that they've got right now. They've got pretty much most of the heavy hitters this season.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy. Like I said before, it's always been difficult to suggest High Dive whenever they have one show a season. But now they got, like I said, six shows. I think six. There might be more. But yeah, really cool. Really cool. Thanks. I guess that's kind of, it might be a sign of this kind of nice aspect of AMC being involved. Now, again, we don't really know if it was Sentai Filmworks and High Dive really trying to pull back the reins while they were going through the buyout, and now they're going back into it. Or, again, if it's AMC going, okay, you guys need to pull this off. What do you need? Okay, we need to start grabbing licenses. And then maybe, again, AMC might even be able to pump in something, some money in there so they can grab a lot of titles. We don't know. But I hope this is a good sign that the buyout is improving their ability to really get in there. Because, like I said before, the hope right now is that they get in there and they start being a competitor. We need a competitor more than ever against Crunchyroll. So we'll see. Moving on, we have Uncle from Another World. PB has revealed a July premiere for the series. So we kind of talked about this a couple times before. It's essentially about this this guy and his uncle. His uncle fell into a coma at some point, and then when his uncle woke up, he basically talks about how he was isekai'd and apparently talks about things like this elf that he was dealing with. And the whole joke in the PV that they kind of feature is this aspect of his uncle describing this elf and how she's pretty much described as a tsundere. And he's talking about how, well, technically the whole concept of a tsundere wasn't popularized before he went into a coma. So it's kind of shocking to him. So I'm definitely looking forward to this one. It's kind of one of those ones where I looked at it and I'm like, this could either be genius or really dumb. Like, I could see this being a show that I'm going to absolutely love or just straight up not like. So we'll see. We'll see. It does look cute. The elf girl looks really cute. So I still get a kick out of the fact that when I originally seen this, I thought that it was going to be about him being isekai'd as the elf. But no, he's just dealing with this elf that's apparently tsundere. So I guess it's really going to depend on how it's kind of played out. Obviously, with the whole aspect of him being talking to his uncle, he's going to get stuff fed to him from the uncle. So I guess it's going to play out as maybe different scenarios his uncle's telling him about. Like, oh yeah, there was one time where I went to the elf to the shop and this happened. Is it going to be like that, I guess? Not really necessarily be, okay, episode one opens up with the uncle saying, let me tell you about my story, and the rest of the show is just him in the other world. But
yeah, I wonder. That'll be interesting to see. The concept sounds interesting, but I agree. You might as well just I guess it could be him a lot of him just reacting to his story, but
yeah.
When it comes down to it, the concept only has basically one joke. I mean, outside of, like I said, if it's about him reacting to the story, I guess it could be, make it a little bit more fun.
And that's where my fear is like, does it have staying power, or is the joke the joke is the first episode, the title is the joke? I don't know. I don't really like so much the style with like the overly sketchy lines for shadings, but we'll see. We'll see. It sounds interesting. Like I said, the elf looks cute. So it's funny though, because like, why would he be so shocked about the concept of him knowing what a tsundere is? Because I mean, it's very, it's not well known, but it's sort of theorized the idea of like both sleep and comas, you can still hear things. And so your brain will react to it. So if somebody has talked about a Sundere, or maybe they had the TV on in the hospital, it could technically pick up on those kind of aspects. So, but yeah, we'll see. He has an orc-like face. Babaka. All right. Moving on, we have Maiden Abyss has been revealed by the staff to premiere its second season in July. It's right around the corner, Chris. It's soon. The pain is coming. This is like one of those things where you're like, you hate it, but you're happy at the same time. Like, you're excited, but you're dreading it. It's so weird. They also revealed a new visual for it. So, yeah, super excited for this. Are you excited? Are you hesitant? I mean, I think the movie broke us both, so
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
I don't want it, but I want it.
Does it look like it's going to be doing some backstory? Is that what it looks like?
I don't know.
That second visual down there?
I don't know. This the other visual is what they've released first. I don't know if it has ties in with it. I don't want to know who's in the visual. We'll just wait and see. I would assume they're probably going to do some sort of either parallel story or some backstory. So we'll have to wait and see.
They're going to hurt us. They're going to hurt us bad. You know that, right?
That's why I said, I don't know if I could be excited for this.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want it, but I don't want it.
They're going to hurt us bad.
I want it, but I don't want it. Moving on. Of course, April 1st was a crap storm like usual with announcements and stuff and fake outs. Like, we had a really nice one for Rankin and Keens getting a second season that a lot of people jumped on before I realized the Twitter handle that everybody was retweeting was off by one character. But at any rate, one such April Fool's turned into an actual announcement. Of course, when the Twitter account for Masamune Kun's Revenge essentially released an image that showed the characters in chibi format excited about a sign that says, Masamune Kun Revenge is getting a third season. And one of the other characters was saying, you can't have a third without a second. That doesn't make any sense. Well, you can kind of see where there was little, you know, inclinations that there was some signs in the background behind the signs. So it was kind of a joke saying third season's coming. But in actuality, the official announcement was that a second season's coming. So for all the fans of Masamune Kun's Revenge, Masamune Kun's Revenge R, second season has been officially announced. So be excited for that. Question mark.
I kind of like the show if I remember right. So I
didn't.
I know. It's okay. I didn't. You cannot like it.
It's okay. I'm just saying I didn't. You don't have to get all defensive, okay.
Andrew.
You don't it's have to say it's right. okay for me to be not okay with it. Now, I will say some edgy isn't good, but I just felt like the show itself was a little bit mean. So I'll probably be checking out the second season, but I don't know. It is one of those ones where it's like, do I really want to go into something? No, I'm probably not going to enjoy it, but we'll see. But for all the fans of Masamune Kun Revenge, definitely excited for you guys. Definitely be looking forward to that one. But yeah, something else exciting. Double whammy. Official Twitter account for the Fruit of Evolution announced the second season of everything. Of all the shows, Kageki Shoujo or something. No, Fruit of Evolution. That was a hit, right? I don't know. It may have been really super popular in Japan, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, the official Twitter account announced that Fruit of Evolution is getting a second season. They released a key art for it. And the official website for the series has a countdown on it that's set for August 5th. So maybe something special happening that day, like Crunchyroll Expo, maybe? I don't know. So maybe they'll have an announcement there. But is there something in there that you're like, yeah, this definitely needs a second season because this is coming up probably?
No, just I just enjoyed it because of
more
its
BO jokes.
Like, yeah, because yeah, cool. It was goofy. It was a goofy just mess of a show, and I liked it. So
yeah,
I'm excited. Did I need a second season? Not necessarily, but hey, I'm more than happy to take it.
Right there with Spirit Chronicles. moving on, an interesting little bit. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. The director of anime creative at Netflix, Kohei Obara has apparently been reported to have told Variety that more than half of Netflix's worldwide audience watched quote-unquote, I have to do the quote-unquote thing because it says audio podcast, quote-unquote anime last year. So, yeah. He also said that 90% of Japanese subscribers watched anime. So, obviously, the big stipulation I want to put here, and even though every single article you'll find, it'll say it's anime, Japan doesn't really... This is technically somebody from Japan mentioning this. And let's be honest, Japan, they call anything animated anime. Only in the West do we specify that Japanese animation is anime. So they could be talking about Castlevania. They could talk about, I don't know, the millions of Western quote-unquote anime. Plus, I mean, even things like, you know, movies that are made in the West, like, I don't know, Disney movies and stuff, they call that anime. So, now granted, there's not Disney movies on Netflix anymore, but it is important to put a little grain of salt in there to realize that when they say half of their worldwide users watched anime last year, that could both mean non-Japanese animation, and it could also mean they watched one episode and turned it off. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean they watched a full season of a show. So, with those stipulations in there, with that grain of salt placed in there, what do you think about this kind of news?
I would want... This is another one of those that I would want to see the demographics on. I would.
Don't you wish you could see Netflix's information? Like, could we please?
This one is... because of the, just like Andrew had mentioned, the vagueness there, I'd also want to know if this is family accounts, if this is kids on a family account watching anime versus the actual adults that are actually watching it, blah, 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 so on and so forth. My point being is they're always going to kind of, like Andrew was kind of hinting at, is they're always going to try and bend a story to make it look as good as possible.
This didn't just slip out of this guy's mouth. He obviously is probably wanting to say this to maybe encourage studios and producers in Japan to go, oh, gotta put my stuff on Netflix. This is a look, we got users here. I mean, they have a lot of users. They have a lot of accounts, paid accounts. And so if they can say, dangle that, you know, multi-million users in front of somebody's face, what do they say? I think there's like up in words of what, how many users in Netflix right now?
People still doing the DVD thing in Netflix? I didn't even know they had that side of their site available anymore.
I think for certain regions. This says 221 million. I don't think that's right. But anyway, a lot. They have a, like, millions of subscribers. This one says 209 million subscribers. So if you get half of that, that's a lot. But again, we don't know how much of that is actual anime. And again, they're technically trying to create a narrative. They want to let these producers and these people with money in Japan know, hey, come over here. We got the place. We got the eyeballs that you want. So I don't know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Honestly, I think that's a good thing. In the end, it's a good thing. I hate Netflix for its willingness to hold shows while it's being aired in Japan, because again, that just encourages people to find it somewhere else. And by the time it's actually released on Netflix, it becomes irrelevant to the typical Western anime fan. That part I still hate, but it's still, again, in the perspective of what's going on with Sony and stuff, I still want to encourage Netflix to be some sort of competitor. Now, again, it's kind of like the whole, you know, PlayStation versus Xbox. Nobody sees Nintendo as part of that whole fight because it's kind of doing its own thing. I kind of see that same thing with Netflix. So it's kind of like we have HIDIVE versus Crunchyroll right now, and then Netflix is doing its own thing because it's doing the whole produce. They're going out of their way to get shows made just for their platform. They're not going after the seasonal anime. They're not going for the TV broadcast anime. They're getting specific shows made, completed, and then put on their platforms. It's very rare they actually have things like Komi-san and the other one that I watched here recently, the Blue Period. It's not, they don't, that's a rarity. They did that for that one season and we haven't heard of it again. It's like they just do it for a little brief time and they don't do it again. It's typically things like, again, Orbital Children. It's things like Beastars. things where they get a full show done and they dump the whole thing on their platform. So they're never really kind of a seasonal competitor like the other platforms, which is, for a lot of people, it's a good thing or a bad thing. It just depends on if you like the whole binge thing, which I don't really like because I like discussing shows as it airs. You don't get that with a binge, unfortunately.
But on the bright side, taking what they're saying into consideration, if we take it at face value, like I said, you can take the cynical view and you could also take the optimistic view. This is actually showing how prevalent anime is. Mm-hmm. More than what I think a lot of companies really are actually considering. When we say, you know, that Crunchyroll needs to take this more serious, this is what we're talking about. This is not just a thing that you can go, yeah, I don't really much care. You realize if we take what we were talking about earlier of how many users that Crunchyroll has, quote unquote, official viewers, and then consider compared to what obviously Netflix, who has a very massive audience, and how many users is Crunchyroll actually missing out on? Mm-hmm. That's a massive difference. So you are literally, by stomping on your customer base, you're just sending them off into these shady sites because why? I mean, you're stomping all over your user base. You really are. And going back to what I was saying, the difference is massive. So I really think you really need to reevaluate how you're doing this stuff, honestly.
And that was the other argument that we had with a lot of the news around Crunchyroll cutting off ad support. It's that whole idea that maybe that was their attempt to avoid raising their sub costs because, again, Netflix is way more expensive. But again, you're technically feeding people movies and live action stuff that's more appeal to a broader audience than just anime. So I don't know. It is one of those kind of issues that a lot of people face. But I do agree. This was the kind of the positive thing that I seen in this news bit when I did my video, was that, yeah, that technically means that they're kind of highlighting the idea that this is the popularity of anime, that it is getting more popular. But again, I still put in that grain of salt that of like, but is it anime that they're talking about? Or is it just animation that they're talking about? That's the big question mark. But again, probably vague for a reason. They're probably being extremely vague for a reason, because it's probably not anime. It's probably not anime, but it is cool though. It is cool to know, even still in the end, because like I said, it bolsters the anime community. It bolsters the idea of getting more anime to put on Netflix, and that's more content for us, even though I don't want to sub to Netflix. I hate the cost. But that's what I was saying. Like, if for some reason somebody at Netflix is listening to this, I know we had one person in the past, but he no longer works there. But somebody at Netflix, make a Netflix anime tier. Like, just anime. That's all I want. I don't want all these stupid live action movies you're spending god awful amounts of money to. I just want anime. Just make a section where it's just anime and you can sub to it. Kind of like what Amazon was doing, but reverse. Like, Amazon had the whole Amazon Strike thing that you had to get on top of the Amazon Prime. Do that, but the whole thing where you just buy the anime and not the full subscription. That doesn't mean I want, you know, have to sub for $20 for Netflix and then pay an extra $5 to have the anime access. Not that. But yeah. Interesting. Some really exciting news. I am like super pumped for this. This is really kind of, it came out of left field, but we finally got a trailer, an official announcement for the next Mobile Suit Gundam. This is during a Bandai Namco Group live stream kind of thing they did. They released a teaser video and visual for the next Gundam series. It's going to be called Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch of Mercury. It is set to premiere in October. This is, of course, the first TV anime we've had since 2016 with Iron Blood Orphans, which is super sad to think about. But yeah, I'm super pumped for that. I wasn't really expecting this to jump out of nowhere, and it caught me off guard. But yeah, are you pumped for your? Oh, I'm sorry. stop. Let me restart. I'll make sure to cut all that stuff out. Our next bit of news, super excited to let you guys know, the very first female lead-led Mobile Suit Gundam is coming out. Sorry. I had to. I'm sorry. That's what all the websites want to highlight, is that it's a female main character and we're supposed to be super excited about it. I don't care. I'm excited for Mobile Suit Gundam. If it's a female main character, cool. Let's see. Let's see what she does. I'm sorry. I had to poke fun at all the websites that were like, oh my gosh, we're growing up. Mobile Suit Gundam's growing up and accepting females as the hero. I don't care. She looks cute. I think she looks great. Character design.
Didn't we have one a few years ago? I guess she wasn't driving the Gundam, but
there's been a lot of female pilots. And a lot of not main role, but like side main role, like co main role. I mean, like with War in the Pocket, it was a two-sided story. One side was from, the main perspective, like with the boy and the soldier from the Zeon, and then you had the female pilot that was for the Gundam. So it technically, there's a lot of really strong female characters in the show. It's just, main driver, main character, protagonist being a female, I don't think so, but I don't really care either way. I'm just excited for another Gundam, and it's a TV Gundam. It's been, 6 years? It's so crazy to think it's been that long since Iron Blood Orphans. But I'm super pumped for it. Again, yeah, she looks like a fantastic character design. I hope she's a great character. Always up for new great main characters. But we'll see. The only thing that I'm kind of hesitant with this whole announcement is that apparently back when they announced the project last year, they were kind of hinting at this idea that they were trying to make trying to aim their stuff to be more inclusive to a younger audience again. Like, they're trying to bring in the appeal to a younger audience to the platform once again. And that kind of has me a little bit scared. What was it? We are aiming to create a work that even younger generations will support. We are making a bigger developments than ever before. Which I think they were specifically saying that in regards to this project, but like I said, it's just one of those things where, like, Iron Blood Orphans was pretty darn violent. And granted, all of Gundam has been violent in one way or another. And yes, it's always been technically geared towards young audience for Gunpla and stuff, but I just kind of felt like with the whole, I mean, we have been getting, let's be honest, we have been getting TV Gundam for the last few years, or for the last 6 years. It's just been Gundam Build Divers, and that kind of stuff, which is, in my opinion, the stuff that's very aimed towards children. So I've always kind of felt like with the inclusion of Gundam Build Fighters and stuff, it was that ability to have that's for the younger audience, and the mainline Gundam is more for adults, but yeah, a mixture of younger audience.
I thought that's what SD Gundam was supposed to be, basically.
Yeah, it was just another playoff of that whole thing. We haven't really had SD Gundam since the Gundam Build stuff, and they have the SD stuff in the Gundam Builds, so I don't know. It's all for Gunpla. It's all for Gunpla. But I don't know. I just hope that doesn't mean they're going to get really, I don't know. It's not that I want this main girl to be tortured. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I don't want it to shy away from, heavy subjects. It's always been very political. It's always been very galaxy political, and characters going through a lot of stress and developments through hardships. I don't want it to be Gundam Build Divers. It is nothing that's wrong with Gundam Build Divers or Gundam Build Fighters. It's just this is what they kind of always kind of aim for. So kids don't care about politics. And when you have like that pseudo galaxy politics stuff in there and characters going through trauma, that's the stuff that they kind of shift away from. So we'll see. But they also said they were going to have a prologue project that's going to be debuting in summer, so it's going to be its own story that I guess is going to introduce the world itself. So we'll see. It's going to be be careful, here we go, a shocker to you guys, The Witch from Mercury prologue. That's the title. Genius, I know. But we'll see. Excited though.
Yeah, I think she looks great. I think the Gundam looks pretty good. So yeah, I'm very on board with this.
Yeah, it's technically going back to more of the style of the original Gundams and stuff. Still keeping like a little bit of that Barbados kind of look to it too. So I really love the Barbados. It was so good. So cool looking. But yeah, definitely super, super excited for that. Welcome back, Gundam. It's been so long. I mean, technically we had I'm War of the Borderline, but that was a different studio and not technically Gundam. It was, yes, a lot of the mechanical animators and stuff were their group, but yeah. Moving on. Another really crazy news that came out last couple weeks. Bandai Namco Arts has announced a new TV anime for Monty Ohm's Ruby franchise. It's called Ruby Ice Queendom. It's going to be scheduled to broadcast in 2022. Studio Shaft is working on it. Chief Director Kinjiro Okada is going to be working on it. And, of course, he's known for doing March Comes in Like a Lion. Animation concept by Jin Urobuchi, of course, is known for doing Aonoha Zero, Fate Zero, Madoka Magica. Series composition and script writer by Ubukata, who, of course, is known for Marduk Scramble, Fafner, and Ghost in the Shell Rise. And original character designs by Hook, of course, is known for Black Rock Shooter, Steins Gate, and many other things. So, yeah. Little bit of a shocker. Like, this is like the news bit that when it popped up, I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, who got dirt on who to make this thing happen? Or how much money is somebody pumping into this whole project? Because that's a pretty crazy team there. I'm not going to lie. Very crazy team.
I will say this once. I am actually super excited about this. I think that we kind of hint, you and me had kind of in passing talked about
this. Oh, yeah. When this came out, I was like, Chris, did you hear about this? He's like, yeah, or something like that. And it was, yeah, the conversation happens.
The funny thing about this, the reason why I'm super excited about this,
So people stop saying if Ruby's an anime or not.
Well, no, it's official. I'm not gonna make a jab at this.
It's official. It's an anime.
I actually really liked the concept of Ruby. When I watched it, some of the action scenes I'll acknowledge look really good, and the concept of the world of Ruby I really liked. It's almost, for lack of a better term, the best way I could say it is, think if I just had it in my head. Think Soul Eater, but with kind of a mafia bend to it. It's really kind of an interesting concept in its world. There is some kind of underground trading and all these kind of different things involved in the magic system. It has a very, very fascinating world. I despised the visuals, the voice acting. I think I even mentioned at one point that I wish I do know that they have since come out with it. And I said I'm almost tempted to go and try it again when they announced that they did a Japanese dub of it. I love the world of it. I don't like the visuals. I don't like the voice acting. And so that's what really kind of turned me off. And I powered through at least the first two and a half seasons of it, because everybody wanted to know our opinions on the show. And that's why, yeah. At some point I said I do like the concept of it. But when it comes down to it, the voice acting was really, really irksome. And I'm one of those. I have made no bones about the fact that I don't like the English dubbing in a lot of cases. So it's not a big surprise that I had a hard time getting through it. But when it comes down to it, heck yeah. I cannot wait to see it. I've seen some of the side-by-sides of some of the stuff that's slowly trickling out. It looks fantastic, and I cannot wait for this.
Yeah, they had already released a PV for it and everything, but I'm kind of on the same boat where when I seen a lot of the people that were, I mean, obviously with our circles, a lot of people are going to be more, there's going to be certain people that are more acceptant of things that are Western made, but obviously Japanese inspired. And this is obviously Japanese inspired. Monty Ohm obviously went into this with a perspective of he's going for an anime style to it. And I appreciate that. And I respect the work that Monty Ohm put into the project. It's a one person job and he's putting together literally a whole show. That's a lot. I give him a lot of credit for that. It was just an aspect that I really didn't like the style even still. It's like I appreciate what he did, but it's not something I visually liked. And yeah, I kind of agree and didn't really care for the English dubbing. But it is one of those things where I always kind of appreciated for the fandom it had that was obviously kind of created by people appreciating the story that was there and the characters that were there. You're not going to watch something that is... I mean, how many times every season we have these one shows that are CGI, full CGI, and everybody's like, woof, I'm not touching this because it's CGI. People were watching this, and they were really enjoying it. So obviously there was something there. And I appreciate it for that, but at the same time, I couldn't get past those things. And it wasn't until, like, the passing of Monty Ohm that a lot of people were kind of starting getting frustrated with the series and saying that it went in a direction they didn't like. And it's like, that kind of made me, well, I don't want to get invested in it now because now I have my excuse to say, no, I don't want to get into this. The frustration I have really now is in seeing this, is this going to be something, is it going to be a side story? Is it going to be something that's going to require you to watch the original series? That's the thing that I'm going to have to fill out. And I don't think I've really gotten a solid answer from anybody. They kind of claim that it's kind of both. It's not a show that you're going to... They're not thinking it's going to be something that you're going to need to watch the original series, but at the same time, it is something that is somewhere in there. So I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they decide to jump in there.
If they take... somebody's done a side-by-side thing so that you can see the original version versus the new Shaft version. So and side by side, shot for shot. So I'm wondering if maybe it is a retelling of it. Maybe
it's going to hit all the main points for the first part and then go into a new story. That's what I kind of assume.
I'm thinking it's just from
there's a banana in there. I'm thinking this is going to have Steins Gate references.
Because of the way the wording in the title is from the white girl's perspective instead of from Ruby's perspective. I can't think of Weiss's perspective instead of Ruby's perspective.
Right.
And that would be an interesting take on it, just to retell the entire story from Weiss's perspective. And that would be a great way to redo the entire thing. And well, still capture a kind of a new essence to it.
A lot of focus in this trailer seems to be on this wise girl running into somebody that she obviously knows. Is that something you remember from the first couple seasons? I guess that's the question mark.
I recognize a lot of the scenes, but I don't know of what all is different in each one of them story, because pretty much Weiss and Ruby were very next. Basically the entire team eventually comes together and they pretty much are doing the entire thing together. There's basically red, white, black and yellow. Yeah. And so they're pretty much tied at the hip, but Ruby and Weiss are very much hand in hand. And I love Weiss, so I would love to see the entire story from her perspective anyway. So,
yeah. I think the other thing to kind of note is that this isn't, to give a little bit of perspective, and I'm not a huge Ruby fan here, so I'm probably going to get some of this a little bit vague. It is important to acknowledge that this isn't really, yes, technically, it's Rooster Teeth is working on this. They're obviously probably paying into this whole project, but this is something that technically does have a fandom in Japan. They even did a manga, I believe, in one of the shonen magazines over there. So it's been something that's been developing over there. It's a fandom that's been growing in Japan. So this isn't like out of nowhere Shaft for some reason is making this. This does have a fandom. And yes, they technically did bring the series over to Japan, dubbed it in Japanese, and released it on Blu-ray over there. So there is a fandom over there. Other cool things to note, and I just noticed this, is Void Chords featuring L is going to be performing the OP. And TK from Ling Tosite Shigori is going to be doing the ED. So that's really cool. Really interested in hearing that song.
They're going nuts on this, aren't they?
That's what I mean. Like, there's so much crap in here, I can't keep up. Like I said, it's a really crazy team that's working on this. And yeah, a lot of the animation in the PV looks fantastic already. Much better than CGI stuff. Nothing against Monty Alm again, single person.
Out of curiosity, did they announce Penelope's voice? I see Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang.
I think they were trying to go for the original team, weren't they?
Then can you look up the original team?
Are you talking about the Japanese one?
The Japanese voice actress for Penelope.
Why don't you do this stuff while we're talking about it, not at the very end? Would it be on my anime list? It's not going to be on my anime list. Is it? The manga is. Yeah. The original show is not going to be on there, so I can't check there. Ruby, Japanese voice, who?
Penelope.
Penelope. Is that is it Megumi Han? Penny? Like a food? Is like a food?
I don't know why I called. I've always associated her name with Penelope for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's kind of short for it, isn't it? Very much a side voice. Oh, it's Mimiji from Fruits Basket. There you go. If that tells you anything, the character has showed up like twice, three times, more than that.
Well, she is a very side character, but
Daru really from like Show by Rock.
Really?
Yeah, there you go. Don't know any of these characters. That's the only two characters I recognize. Only two characters I recognize. Well, I recognize some other characters, but they didn't really have any kind of significant role or talked much at that. So,
All right.
Exciting, though. Really, really exciting. Looking forward to that. Again, I hope that I can just jump right into it and I don't have to watch the original series. But,
well, like I said, the side-by-sides, it looks like it's pretty much going from the beginning, so.
Yeah. Maybe just kind of build things up from the beginning and then jump onto another story. That's what I was kind of assuming. So, there you go. Chris, it finally happened. The official website for a harem in an alternate world dungeon anime has announced a July premiere. Now, we already knew that was going to be in 2022. We just now have an official season, which is summer season, so. Yeah, and they released a key art, and I did put it in my outline, so I didn't forget to say it. Roxanne is looking super thick.
I'm gonna sidestep that comment and say I'm super excited. I'm so happy that I finally got a date on this.
Just gonna put this in a box and I'm gonna put it over here.
Put it over here.
pull it out of the river. Set it on fire. Don't set it on fire.
Put it in a river. I'm so happy for this. I like I said before, I've been kind of hinting at this story for a long time. For it to finally get announced way back
again,
when.
Again, Crunchyroll, do not license this.
Do not. Under no circumstances do I want to see a freaking super censored version of this. I want this to be all over High Dive.
World's in harem levels.
I've mentioned this. I'm trying to get some of the community to at least dig into this so that I can spark a discussion about some of the stuff in here. One of the frustrating things about this one is one of those that, for lack of a better term, I don't think it's on quote unquote hentai levels. But at the same time, the characters just they do things. Let's just say
it's almost like it's adult.
It's adult, and it's not a matter of this is the entire world revolves around this. It's just they do things, and the funny thing is there is some aspects to this that I can see because when I've talked to Andrew a few times about this. I've always gone on about, I don't want to overhype this. This is very big that I don't overhype this.
Because even though every time we talk about upcoming seasons, he goes, is my show there? Is my show there? Is my show there? Is my show there? I don't want to hype it. Is my show there? Is my show there?
It's one of those things that in the web novel version of this, the character gets very stuck in messing with numbers in his head, and he's constantly trying to do things.
Oh crap! Is he voiced by Aoyuki?
No,
darn, he's not.
I want to say that he is. I actually looked this up, and I want to say that I sent it to you on text. He's a side character, main character guy. Was it Ronta?
You were saying that he's like Ronta.
So he actually, the two of them together are an actual fantastic match for the two characters. Because he's not, when he does his normal characters, it's a character archetype that is really well perfect for him. His Ronta voice is horrible. But him himself, that's what it was. It was Victor. Vulcan from Fire Force, and he's a character that will do really well in kind of vocalizing this kind of calm demeanor when it's time to be calm, and he can do a solid excited voice when he needs to, and Roxanne was really well picked as this kind of a more chill type character, which motherly type character, which I think is absolutely perfect for Roxanne. I can't wait to see some of the other voice picks if they continue, which I'm really hoping they do. But yeah, I'm excited about this because when it comes down to it, this has got the whole MMO thing in real life. Where he does go off into this gathering stuff from the dungeon and then going out and selling it. And there's going to be a lot of economics involved in doing a lot of that. Like I said, it's pushing a lot of the Chris buttons because you've got harem, you've got ecchi, you've got pretty much full on adult stuff. But when it comes down to it, and then him doing the economic side where he's trading and gathering and taking it out to the world and doing different things and moving from place to place to get more stuff, adding more dungeons that he has available, getting into kind of political intrigue, not too in depth as far as I've gotten, but he's still getting into the political intrigue of the world. So yeah. I do love it.
Chris, stop trying to inflate this. The synopsis says it's about a guy that gets isekai. He has cheap powers and he gains himself idol-level beauty women for his own harem.
Yep.
That's all the show's about.
That's what he does.
Stop making it into other things.
But yeah, I do agree with... Andrew sent me the tweet where this was announced, and they showed the key art, and my first impression was the same as pretty much everybody else on the... What did you do to Roxanne?
No, it was funny because I sent it to Chris, and I'm like... Roxanne's looking pretty thick, and he's like, no, I think that's her armor, and I'm like, I zoomed in on her, like pelvis, and it's like, no, that's pretty thick.
Even said, what did they do, make Roxanne pregnant? And I'm like, I actually kind of, that idea kind of popped into my head for a split second, because she, the way her hips are, she's actually putting her belly out a little bit, and it does look like it, and it's like, this is stupid, but hey, I'll take it because at least it's getting done.
Thick puppy girl. Yeah, even this image, she got that hourglass going pretty darn well. No, she looks cute.
If you look at the character artist, it makes sense because a lot of the stuff that the character artist does is that body shape when it comes down to it. So
there you go.
Yeah, it is what it is. I'll take it because I get it.
Excited for you, Chris. Super excited for you. I feel like we talked about this, but we'll talk about it again if not. The official website for the anime adaptation of The Saint's Magic Power is Omnipotent has announced a second season. I am so excited. This is like one of those still remaining from last year that didn't get an announcement for a second season. Again, I still have Kakeki Shoujo back there that needs a second season, but at least this one got picked up because this is one of those ones where I literally did not think this was going to get a second season. And now we know it's getting a second season. I'm like really, really happy about this. This is a series that deserves a second season. It's still going to be done at Diomedia, same director and scriptwriter. So cool to know that. But yeah, I'm super excited about this. For those that don't know, this is essentially a female that gets to be isekai'd into another world with somebody else. And they kind of deem that she's not the saint that they're needing. The other girl that came there with her was a saint. So she kind of gets discarded. So she's basically just trying to live there. She can't go back. So she's trying to find like something to live for in this other world to kind of hopefully, you know, keep her until she can go back. But, and it kind of just has a little bit of romance in there, some really good solid comedy. And she's just a really good character. Like, she's a great main character. She's not a Bricks character. She's got a great personality. You just kind of want to root for her. You want her to have joy in this world. So happy for that.
I absolutely agree. I can't wait to watch this. I love going into what Andrew was saying of not a Bricks character. She has her own motivations. And yeah, she acknowledges guys are good looking or something like that. But her motivation is not swoon over the guy. Her motivation is she wants to do her alchemy stuff. She wants to learn about that stuff. She wants to help take care of the world.
Yeah, help people too.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I absolutely love about this show is
I was super shocked about the other side of the story too. The other girl that showed up, I'm like, holy crap, they did such a good job with her character too. Oh, it was so good. I'm starting to remember stuff about the show and I want to watch it again. Yeah, super happy about that. Definitely excited for that. Moving on, we have I think that's what happens. We were talking about it with maybe in the reviews, but Orient has been confirmed to getting a second core. It's going to be premiering in July as well. So this is kind of expected this, but good to still have it announced because I think for both me and Chris equally, it's one of those things where it's like kind of need a second season or a second core. Sorry, don't want to say season. But we'll see where that goes.
I can't wait. I really want to be super excited about this. I'm ambivalent as it stands right now, but I want to love this show. I really do.
Yeah. I think it needs a little bit more time to heat up, I guess. Netflix has announced a second second and final season for Pacific Rim: The Black. It'll premiere on April 19th. So just another week away. They kind of announced this pretty much a month before it actually was going to come out. So we already knew that was going to have a second season. It's just the announcement really here is that it's going to be the final season and they already have a date set for it. So I will probably check this out. It's going to be kind of low on my list of stuff to watch, but I think I'm just going to make a sub for Netflix and just kind of burn through a bunch of stuff. And I might do this one as well. I did kind of enjoy the first season. I still think it's very Western in its writing because obviously a lot of Western writers were kind of heading it, even though it was animated by Polygon Pictures. But there was still some cool stuff in it, so we'll see. A new teaser trailer was released for Takagi-san, the movie, TZ Master Takagi-san. Obviously, we had the ending of the third season here recently, and they kind of released this movie trailer right after it, claiming the actual Japanese premiere date in theaters to be June 10th. So hopefully, it gets kind of a quick turnaround to come over here. Obviously, Sentai Filmworks has already announced that they have the movie licensed. They did that along with the third season. They announced they licensed the movie as well. So hopefully Sentai Filmworks doesn't take too long to get it to us. I don't know if they're planning on doing just a stream throw it on their streaming platform, High Dive, right immediately when they get access to it, or if we're going to possibly have to, do digital tickets or something like that. I don't see this being something they're going to put in theaters in the West, obviously, because it's a movie that's three seasons in. But, I mean, I'd be fine with that. But at the same time, I don't like that because it means it takes longer for us to get it because this is obviously not going to be something that's going to be in theaters around us. So we'll see, though. But at least look for around June 10th before we probably learn anything on its Western release.
Do we know for a fact if this is going to be the completion of the story?
No. I don't think that they... you could probably check out the manga and find out if it's going to have enough content just to do a movie, but I don't know. Like I said before, I still love the series, but I did get a little fatigue in the third season, probably because I binged it, but it's one of those things where it's like, we're getting so close, just do it already. I want to see something come from this. Just say yes or no. enough dwaddling around. Let's get answers. But it's still adorable. It looks great. Can't wait for it. Just can't wait for it. Can't wait for it. Moving on. The official website for To Your Eternity has released a trailer showing new staff and studio for season 2. Yes, you heard right. New studio. It's a little bit of a shocker there. Let's let that sink in. Yes, and what amazing studio can we see take up the reins of To Your Eternity, Chris?
I have no idea.
Studio Drive. You remember Studio Drive? The show that...
Yeah, that, this, one, that, studio? That one studio.
That one studio. This is probably the biggest shock for a lot of people that are huge fans of To Your Eternity. It's not... Again, the second season will not be done by Brainsbase, which admittedly, they started doing pretty... rough job with the To Your Eternity in the second half, the second core. I think that they really definitely dropped off with the second core. A lot of the animation was just stills and stuff, but still.
Click Vlad Love.
Click Vlad Love.
Vlad Love.
Do you need me to do... Do you need me,
right there.
Right here?
To the right.
Right there. But yeah, I think
that's the one I thought it was.
The all interesting right. thing with this is really Drive has only really done Actor Song Connection and Vlad Love of note, really. So it is one of those.
We watched like three episodes of it, so
it is one of those big question marks of like how good quality they can do this with. Also, the director's changing. Kyoko Sayama is going to be replacing Masahiko Murata, which again, I think I attribute a lot of credit to. The work that Rod did with the first season. Now, again, it's not just their work. It's a whole team, but you do get some credit there for a lot of the certain points of that adaptation hit harder than even the manga did because of just really good work that the team put into it. So the rest of the team's returning. So no big shock there or no big concern there. But obviously again, a different studio. It's still set to premiere in fall 2022. So I guess we'll see, but yes, I do want to know. Just because Drive is working on this does not mean that suddenly it's going to be garbage. Drive can do a phenomenal job. Heck, I have I can assume there's a chance that Drive will do a better job than Brainspace. It all depends on the staff that they bring in, the animators they bring in, how much work they put into it, how much time is given to it, their scheduling, budget. All that stuff is, yes, I acknowledge it can still be amazing. And it can actually be better than the first season. It's just there is a concern there with a new studio. They don't have a pedigree for you to really kind of gauge how well they're going to do. So that's where the concern kind of comes in. So
I wouldn't hold out a lot of hope.
I'm trying to be positive.
I'm going off of Vlad Love. Now that I've actually seen which one this is, I watched.
This will be their breakout, episodes. Chris.
It could this be their breakout. They could, you know, totally just flip the script on everything with this. I mean, it wasn't bad looking, but at the same time, it wasn't amazing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I do technically acknowledge that Brainspace really struggled with the second core. So anything's better than that second core. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We don't really have much to go by with the PV, unfortunately, but only time will tell.
Well, the PV looked good.
It was probably done by Brainspace before they got off the project. I'm just kidding.
Hey, we did as much as we could for you.
Here
it's
you go.
All you.
Here's the assets. Here's the CGI models in case you need those. Anyways. Moving on. The mangaka Makoto Akui posted on Twitter that Ao no Orchestra will be getting an anime adaptation. The English title for this is The Blue Orchestra. They also released a illustration to celebrate the announcement. But yeah, another story about a guy who apparently is a violin prodigy. He stopped playing violin for own personal reasons, but at some point runs into probably a cute girl, and the cute girl tells him about a high school with a prestigious school orchestra. And then he suddenly decides that he wants to get back into it. So not because Genki cute girl or anything, right?
Definitely not.
Just based on the illustrator, she looks like a Genki cute girl. So she could be totally normal. Maybe she's excited because it's getting an adaptation. But yeah, I we'll see. I'm always kind of very mixed on these shows about, you know, really good musician stops and then gets back into it kind of things. We'll see if this one does anything interesting. But I'm up for it. We'll see. I was really into the idea of getting into violin when I was younger, so I'm always up for that, too.
I can say this. Healer is spoiling me, and if this doesn't have absolutely amazing music, it's going to be garbage.
Healer. Oh, I gotcha. We'll see. Some really sad news. The official website for Shikimori is Not Just a Cutie has announced that the production studio, Dogokobo, of course, has temporarily closed. This, of course, is due, not of course, this is unfortunately due to COVID breakout within the staff, and so they've kind of shut things down for the time being. They claim that Dogecoin will remain closed from April 6th until April 17th, thus pretty much putting them on almost a two-week delay there. I would speculate, based on that almost two-week delay that or shutdown, plus the fact that they had a week delay on the first episode, apparently, pretty good chance Shikimori is going to be put off into another season. But again, that's just me speculating. Typically, with a lot of shows, when they have, you know, a broadcast within a season, they're given time slots, so many time slots. In some cases, they can get a little bit of a buffer space there. But yeah, typically, they're supposed to have those 12 episodes be on those 12 weeks. And if they go beyond that, they run into stuff that's scheduled for those blocks. And so usually when you get to about a 2 to 3 episodes that are delayed, you push on to another season. So we'll have to wait and see. They stated that the staff is discussing on how they will handle future broadcasts, but just, I guess, keep that expectation that they might end up. It really depends on how much they've got completed with the, you know, the second and third and fourth episode. Sometimes they could have most of it done. They're just doing some, you know, some finishing touches on the episodes, and they might be able to kind of just throw them out there and get it done. There's also a chance that some shows we've had in the past where they will do actual broadcasts on net broadcasts and then continue the show as normal on the actual television. So yeah, that's a bummer. That was definitely one that I was excited for, looking forward to checking out. I was waiting for the second episode before I watched it, so I think I'll just wait at this point. But super, super sad to know. Did you check out the first episode?
Yep.
Yeah? You get into it?
Yep.
That's it?
That's all I'm going to say.
That's all you're going to... Okay. Okay.
I have interesting theories about it, but when it comes down to it, what I was expecting from it was not what I got from it. So, well, okay. Let me rephrase that. What I was expecting...
Is Komi-san Can't Communicate, because the synopsis there says it's perfect for people that liked Komi-san Can't Communicate.
No.
That's like the word. I mean, just based on the synopsis that I know of, it's like, I don't know that I see that, in the at least in the PV and the synopsis. So.
Well, the way the PV came off to me was kind of a reversing of roles. Basically, you have your Bishonen, you know, super cool guy, and you're basically your Bricks character. And I was kind of seeing a reverse of that. Well, if that was what I was supposed to get, that is not what I got. Mm-hmm. It did that to a point, but it wasn't, it didn't sell it. It didn't come out and say, hey, this is what you came here for, right? And just went whole hog on that. It didn't do that. So
that's good. Honestly, because I was kind of afraid of that being very simple. So.
Yeah, and well, the thing is going through the episode, I didn't really get much out of it. Now, slice of life, yeah, I can go with that, and that's what pretty much everybody that was talking about on the forums. Yeah, it was an okay slice of life, but it did that. Not even that really sold me. However, I did pick up on some things in the background that may lead to something interesting. Now, that's me reading into things, though. And so I don't know if it was one of those things that, like the Chekhov's gun, where you see a gun over there, it has to be used at some point later on in the story. It was kind of like those, where you watch it and you go, huh, that's an odd thing to have there. And so it would be interesting to see if you pick up on the same things, but now that I know that it's not coming out until next season.
It could. I'm saying that's my speculation.
It kind of sucks that I have to wait that long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully everybody stays safe out there. I don't want anything... Dogecoin is one of my favorite studios, and they haven't really done too many really huge titles for me recently, and a lot of my focus has been shifting to CloverWorks, but I still love what Dogecoin does. So, yeah, they do technically still have RPG real estate this season as well, and I haven't seen any speculation around that show. So I do, I do. I think, did they announce that was already done in production? Was that a different show?
I don't know.
There might be a chance that they already done.
I know that everybody was pointing out that those two shows were probably going to be affected by the shutdown.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it all depends on how much they have done beforehand. There's a chance that they've already completed RPG real estate, or it could be a chance there's just a different building. A lot of these studios do have different buildings, so yeah. And if there's no exposure over there, they don't have to worry about it, so... Moving on, Shueisha's Young Jump magazine has announced that Golden Kamuy manga will be ending in 3 chapters. And if everything goes as according to plan, that would be around April 28th. So if you're a big fan of the manga of Golden Kamuy, I guess you can be excited. I'm always mixed on whenever I report these. Like, some people are mad and some people are happy. Like, I think it's a great thing. I think having that conclusion to a series and to know that the writer has chosen to end it where it is, hopefully not... you know, out of their own control, they feel like this is a conclusion. I feel like this is a comfortable point to stop at. Don't drag it out is always a good thing. So cool news there. I think that's going to be its 23rd issue. No, it's for the magazine's 23rd issue. 313 chapters. That's pretty meaty. And of course, we still have another season come up here soon. So that's a lot of exciting news for Golden Kamuy fans. If you're okay with the ending. You could be mad. A couple of Cocos. Official website has revealed that the anime adaptation will run for 2 cores. So, cool cuckoos. Stuff. It's Cocos.
Cuckoos.
Cuckoos. Otherwise, it'd be COOCKOOO. It's a U, not an O.
Cuckoos. I'm not cuckoos. Going there. I'm gonna ignore your way of pronouncing it because it's driving me nuts.
Pronounce. Cuckoos.
I hate the way you say that.
See? Cuckoos. It even says it right there. C-O-C-U-U-C-O-O. You need an audio version?
No.
No?
I hate the way you say it. I hate the way.
See? Cuckoo. See? I'm right. Cuckoo. I'm right. It's cuckoos. They literally just said it on the video. Anyways, are you happy about this? 2 whole cores?
Yeah. I am
so stuck on it.
You broke me. I'm super excited about this. I'm waiting fully for it. Where embraced, is it at?
I've fully embraced my pronunciation problems, and I'm tired of even trying to hide it. And now I have a video that says I'm right.
Where is this show at?
I don't think it's aired yet.
Okay.
I think it was a late starter. Which makes me wonder why it's going to go 2 cores when it's starting so late. Which makes me think it's probably like 18 episodes. I don't know. It could be. I think when I was checking earlier, it was like the last show that's supposed to start. It's still 10 days away. No, I'm sorry. 11 days away. Short 1 hour. Yeah. So expect this to be like an 18 episode show. It's an 18 episode show right there. 2 cores. Yay. We're just starting halfway through the first core, so there you go. Anyways, it still looks cute. Like, a lot of the PVs and stuff they're releasing, I'm, like, super into the artwork and the visuals. Who was this dude that was doing this? Shinee Animation? That's a shocker. It looks really good, though. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that still. I think it's gonna be great. Hopefully it's great. But we'll see. Crunchyroll is obviously hyping the heck out of it, so... But it's on their platform, so... Yeah, speaking of Crunchyroll, they have announced that Funimation YouTube channel has become Crunchyroll Dubs. So, cool there. The channel will continue to stream anime clips as well as full episodes of English dub. So, keep a lookout for that. But, yeah, I guess it's a good sign that the dubbing team is keeping their jobs. I mean, yes, they're still doing dubs of shows currently right now, but I guess our speculation was that eventually they're going to probably move to having another company do it rather than their own company, but this at least shows that unless they're just having another company do that stuff and they're just put on this YouTube channel, that there is a company that is Crunchyroll Dubs that exists now. So excited for them. I don't really want people to lose their jobs, but yeah. During an Anime Japan 2022 live event, it was revealed that Dr. Stone Ryusui anime will air in July. So of course, this is the one that's going to be that you know, short special that will be airing between the two seasons. We still have another season coming up soon that will be, is it be the third season at this point? Yeah, third season. But cool. Looking forward to that. I'm not sure if anybody's announced they picked it up at this point. I'm assuming it's going to be on Crunchyroll, but cool stuff there. Always love more Dr. Stone. Don't know why. I love it so much, but I love it. It's one of those shows I'll probably never put on my top list anywhere, but I still, like, absolutely love the show whenever it's on. It's a weird thing. All right, put your tinfoil hats on, everybody. Kodokawa has revealed a new teaser trailer, visual, cast, staff, and release month for Ken Cully Season 2. I don't believe it. I don't think this is real. Fake news. fake news on Anime News Network right here and everywhere else this is published. I'm really excited to see what's her face on the front. What's her name?
Buki.
She's not Buki. Buki's way back here, I think. Shiguri? Yeah, Shiguri. Is it Shiguri? Yeah, Shiguri. I have a figure of her. She's awesome. I love her character design. A little bit different on the key art they have for the second season, but I'm still excited for it. She's one of my favorite character designs in the series. So, and yes, I want more Kongo Des, because Kongo Des. But yeah, Studio ENGI is going to be working on it. The unfortunate thing is it's only going to be 8 episodes, so we finally get it, but it's only going to be 8 episodes. But maybe that just covers a story that they need to cover. So
it'll be nice to get back and basically be reacquainted with a lot of the girls. It's been so long. I know that I had my favorites. Andrew had his favorites, and we both really loved Kongo is just such a great older sister character. I love it.
But they're claiming it's going to be in November. So again, believe it if you want to believe it.
It's true.
I'll believe it when I click that play button and something actually comes up on my screen. I see Kongo.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give it until after you actually see movement on the screen that is characters from Ken Cully, because up until then, it doesn't exist.
It's all fake. It's all fake. It's all a lie. But we'll see. Again, I'm really looking forward to seeing Shigure and again return of Kongo Des. But anyways, Warner Bros. Japan has announced that fourth season of Danmachi is set to premiere during the summer anime season. So look forward to that. I think obviously we already had a fourth season announced, but now we have kind of locked it in at least for summer. So another show to add to the list of summer shows, along with Shikimori Is Not Just a Cutie. See what I did there? Was that funny? See what I did there? I'm already acting like Shikimori's. Sorry. But yeah, look forward to that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see more. Danmachi is one of my all-time favorites, so yeah.
Yeah. More Hestia is Bestia. Get to see that whole meme pop up again. The ribbon meme coming back. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've seen the whole ribbon thing. But yeah, that's it. That's all the news that would seem important to us, that should be important to you, that's important to us. But yeah, let's dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members before we run out of time, because we're running long here. But yeah, as usual, you can go to otakuspirit.com and go there to contact us button. You can, you know, put your information in the field form there and send it. Additionally, you again, go to otakuspirit.com, go to socials, join our Discord, where you can post it in our anime cast question thread area, channel thread. I'm still saying thread because the forums doesn't exist anymore. Like Spakatosh did. What non-anime podcast do you listen to? Unfortunately, at this point, none. I just don't have time for podcasts anymore. When I used to travel a lot, I listened to a lot of stuff, but I don't listen to anything. And I did, well, at that time, I didn't listen to anything that was non-anime related, so I'm boring, I know. I usually would kind of listen to, like, when I traveled a lot, I would just listen to different YouTube channels and stuff like that. A lot of stuff I listened to was more on the whim of something I was interested in at the time, so unfortunately, I'm boring. I'm sorry.
I did
a lot of gaming ones.
Political stuff, yes. Yeah, but it's in a lot of different realms.
Nomad of the Fence says, I finally get to ask a question. What part of the country do you live in to say also like that? JK, unless. I don't know the also thing. You have to describe why I'm saying also wrong, unless you're just trying to make a thing. The real question, though, is when you hear a Japanese voice actor you recognize from another show, does it change how you view the character they are portraying? Yes. Example, VA for Zenitsu as the MC in The Fruit of Evolution was pretty cringy, in my opinion. Or the thousands of Kirito anime where he plays the same character every time. That's a rough one. I think that was like the big joke that I think we had for, was it Spirit Chronicles that had Kirito voice in that as well? It was like, oh, cool, another character. Kirito, literally a Kirito character voiced by Kirito. But no, I definitely see that. There's a lot of shows where as soon as certain VAs like Yu Yugahama, like my mind just immediately jumps to Yu Yugahama, Toyama, I believe. When I hear her voice, I immediately think of Yui Yugahama. And this is probably a deeper discussion that at some point we could probably get into, but it's like, I think there's a mental connection that you sometimes can have. Like, do you sometimes, with the case of like now Toyama, having this case where you hear her voice somewhere else, do you sometimes connect your relationship of the character before, like the feelings that you had and the respect and the love you had for another character kind of seeps into that character, and so you're kind of connecting their stories in a way, and subconsciously. I'm not saying that I will watch a character that's voiced by her and go, oh, well, obviously that's Yui Yugahama. She has a dog, right? It's more of a thing of, like, you just kind of connect that, I want to say relationship, but it's, like, it's not really that much, but it's almost like that. It's almost like that experiences and the connection that you made with the character emotionally, you may carry it over. And again, it's similar with like Kirito's voice. So you hear him somewhere else, and you're like, oh god, it's Kirito again. Idiot. The idiot that somehow got beat by an umbrella. Beat by an umbrella.
I don't know, because I can't say. I mean, I do, because my automatic thinking is Tama or Aoyuki. It's one of those that...
And see, with Aoyuki, I don't really connect any of her characters. I think exactly. Because there's so many characters.
I don't really... I know Tama's voice when I hear her. I mean, I was... she was... She
yeah, when
popped
you see,
up...
Yeah, when you see Frederica, you don't think of Tama from We Cross. It's just, we say Tama because that's just the name connected to her.
Exactly. When I heard her in Princess Connect, and it was driving me nuts because I knew it was Tama, but I didn't know the name of the character, so I had to go through some weird back wikia page for Princess Connect and go through a list of a million characters to find the one character that I knew. She had this red and black hair, and it was like, okay, that's her. And then finally refer to the name of the, because I don't know Tama's real name or Tama's voice actress's name. Just, I should.
We cross Miami list, look for Tama, click on the voice actress, and then search for Princess Connect. That would probably be a little easier.
Maybe, but...
maybe. If Miami list is updated.
I don't think...
A lot of side characters, they don't go through the trouble.
Exactly. I think that's what the problem was, is I went through that direction and I couldn't find her, and so I had to go this back alleyway to find out. But yeah, it's one of those frustrating things is... I don't think that, or it's not frustrating. The finding out that character was her was frustrating. I don't know that I necessarily associate Tama's voice actress from character to character. I do automatically have a love for her voice actress.
Yeah, it kind of sets an expectation for you.
Exactly.
Subconsciously sets an expectation. I'm going to like this character because of his voice.
Yeah. And just like Kendra Asuda, I can understand what Andrew is saying when he says that he's his man crush. I do.
Yeah, Chris is on board with the man crush with
Kendra
Asuda.
I'm not necessarily going that direction.
Yes.
But,
yes. Join me.
I do have a lot of love for those characters that he does do. And I don't know if it's because of Kendra Asuda or if it's because a lot of the characters that he gets put together with. I actually heard a character recently that I think it was in this season that popped up, Zombieland Saga, is it Beetlejuice guy?
It's not Kirito.
No, Kirito is Beetlejuice Boy.
Is it?
Not the guy from Zombieland Saga is not him. No,
him. His voice actor is in another show that's coming up this season, and I was like, that's a perfect character for you. And it made me more excited about that character because of the character who's doing from Zombieland Saga.
I do kind of make a mental connection of Beetlejuice to that guy of Zombieland Saga. They're both equally out there, kind of overly eccentric, kind of milk.
Yeah, it is one of those characters that I'm more excited about him as that character because I can associate that overly obnoxious but yet at the same time just comedic timing character who just pulls off that character, and so I'm more excited about that him being in that role or that character because I know of the role that he's playing in that character. So I do kind of associate it, and that would be equal for Tama, where when I tend to really love the characters that Tama plays. So maybe that's...
And to be honest, technically most all the roles that she plays as is going to be more younger characters because she just has that kind of a voice to herself.
And so maybe you're right in some situations where I do associate the roles that she plays, but not necessarily do I connect. Yeah, I don't necessarily connect the characters from character to character.
She literally plays all the cute little girls that you just want to protect their smile. And so it makes it really easy to like any role she does because you're like, I want to protect that smile. But no, I guess now that I think about it, I guess it really is a sense of first impressions. Now, again, there is outliers like Aoyuki and Kendro Suda where it's just when I hear their voice, I'm like, they're going to nail whatever they're doing. Like, this is just going to be a really good character because I know they're going to nail the voicing. And voicing does literally bring characters to life. Having a 2D character that's on a screen is not going to make them come alive. It's the voice. The voices always take them to a whole nother level. And so it is an expectation they're going to do a fantastic job. But I think that it does imply a first impression. You have that first impression where you're like, I know this voice. I love this voice. And yes, it's going to take the character actually doing something that's going to make you connect to them. But I think it does create a great first impressions for characters until you find out that they're an evil dirtbag that's going to turn your waifu into mincemeat. Like the case with Beetlejuice. Oh, anyways. Bringing back bad memories. Every time you bring up that character, it turns into something bad. But no, I do agree with you that it's like, I've gotten to a point now where I hear Kito's voice and I just don't, I don't know what it is. Maybe it was Beetlejuice, or Pitogoose, whatever you want to call him. Maybe it was that role, but I just, every time now I hear Kito, I was like, ugh, I just don't want to hear him. I just don't like him anymore. So I guess it has a reverse effect. See here, Saw says, will you guys sell any OS merch in the future? And if you plan to do doing so, will you have any low-key items that aren't enemy-in-your-face flashy, such as OS logo or something subtle like that?
How about selling merch in the past?
Selling merch in the past?
We've already started selling it. I was making a stupid joke. I know. I fail at jokes. This is why Andrew's in charge of making funnies, not Chris.
I forgot about the future thing there. Okay, somebody probably laughed. We like to get merch and support OS in the process. This is my first question after 3-ish years of listening to you guys. Now that you guys have a Discord, keep up the awesome work. Well, thank you. Appreciate you joining the Discord. Hope I see you on there more. I don't know if I've seen you on there. You must be eluding me. But anyways, yes, we do have merch. I think I posted a link for it already in the Discord itself, but it's also at shop.otakuspirit.com. So you just go there. It takes you to the store that basically sells it to you. But I know that for some regions like Australia, the shipping's a little rough. I don't know if I can find some kind of supplier that would work in other regions as well. The unfortunate thing there, I'd have to have like 5 different shops for different regions, but I don't know what we're going to do with that whole situation, but just keep that in mind. If you are outside the U.S. or whatever, the shipping might be steep, but it's all there. Definitely appreciate you guys. Yes, technically, if you do buy from that, it does, a part of it does go to us as a profit. So, yeah, and I do have stuff on there that's, you know, very flashy and very anime. It's got Spirit Channel on there, super bright and everything. And we do have some other ones that are more subtle. So If you do have any suggestions of something that you would like, just let me know and I can see if I can put together a listing that will have something that more fits your taste. But yeah, we also have some good stuff on there, like I'm Not Tsundere, I Just Need My Coffee for a coffee mug, and as well as the Damn It Roberts mug. So those are two good ones on there. There's a couple of other ideas that I have planned to do. I just need to get somebody that can actually do the art for it. So if you are an artist and you want to support us through your art, we definitely welcome anybody that can help us with that aspect as well. But yeah, hopefully that is to your liking. Hopefully it's not too flashy for your liking. How long is the next one? That's a big loaded question. The next question's like, that's a loaded question. I guess we could do a quick one from Bacon Chips. What is your guys' favorite type of bean? The comedian's really good. I liked his stuff. I used to watch his stuff all the time.
I've never actually watched him, so.
You didn't watch him? Oh, he's so good. It's so good.
So I'm going to go with black beans.
There you go. Yeah. Hope that's to your liking. Your question. Andrew likes a comedian and Chris likes black beans. anyways, hope you guys enjoy this episode. As always, we definitely appreciate everybody that supports us through listening to us, sharing our videos, sharing our content to other people, letting other people know about us is the best way to support us. Additionally, if you can, we do appreciate your support through Patreon. We have a one-time tips link as well. We also have the merch site, like I mentioned earlier. It's all at otakuspirit.com or shop.otakuspirit.com. Additionally, again, go to our socials, follow us, and join our Discord. We definitely love hearing from you guys on the Discord channels, as well as the voice chat, if anybody will ever join every now and then. But I kind of creep in there every now and then. Maybe I should just put like an invite to everybody. Get your butt in here. But anyways.
Well, even when I do that, it doesn't. I only get maybe one or two people that jump in.
Were you like inviting everybody, or are you just like clicking random people?
No, I put it on the gaming chat and
oh,
but no, I don't actually like a, ping everybody. Maybe yeah,
there's
I
like
should
a ping there's like a thing where if you join and it's empty, it says invite people. I'm like, I wonder how that works. Bug everybody, get your butt in here. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoy this episode as always, and y'all take care.
Ose.